A little bit of it with you. Amen. The peak attendance was 13,000 on Sunday night. And the best we can tell, the total baptized with the Holy Ghost was 3,600. Does that sound a lot like Pentecost or what? Amen. Hallelujah. Total views on the internet in English and Spanish and deaf ministry was 86,000 people. Watched the conference on their computers from 111 English-speaking countries and 28 Spanish-speaking countries. In other words, we had conference all around the world. Hallelujah. Amen. 135 were baptized on the site that night. 94 received the Holy Ghost in the children's service. 107 received the Holy Ghost on the street. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they reported about 1,000 people that said they were refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That needed refilling. Praise the Lord. Amen. There was an Ethiopian van driver that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody witnessed to. A Honduran worker in a ladies' meeting and a security guard all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There were numerous, too many to, I suppose, even count, healings. One South Texas pastor's daughter was deaf in one of her ears, and that's the phone she answers her phone with now. She answers the phone with that ear. Amen. And because she can hear, and the Lord has healed her and made her well. That's just a preliminary report. Only the Lord knows all of the things that happened. Amen. But thank God for a wonderful conference. Hallelujah. Now, I know that's different. If you were there or if you saw it, and it was a very different service on Sunday night. If you haven't been to a crusade service, they don't preach long sermons. Amen. They just usually give instructions.
Right.
And then they say a word of faith and pray a prayer and instruction from the Word of God, and folks start praying. But you know what the Bible said on the day of Pentecost? That the Holy Ghost fell on them. And that's what happened in Houston, Texas, in Toyota Center. The Holy Ghost just fell on them. Praise God. Amen. There was so much prayer. Well, how can you count that many people? Or there were 2,700 people that were in the congregation to count. So it's probably a pretty accurate number. Amen. And so it was a tremendous, tremendous meeting. And thank you for sending us and allowing us to be a part of it. I appreciate it so very much. And also want to thank you for your response Sunday night to both of our projects. Number one, to our missions that we took the offering for, and just so quickly raised the money to do that. Amen. And so thank you so very much. That'll be such a blessing. We'll still be sending missionaries, regional missionaries, that'll be going from other countries, not from the United States, but other countries will be missionaries to other nations. And we're going to get this job done a whole lot quicker that way.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Isn't it great that a Brazilian can go to Angola because they speak Portuguese in Brazil,
yeah,
and they speak Portuguese in Angola?
Amen.
So he doesn't have to go to language school. He already preaches the language.
Yeah.
Amen. And plus, we couldn't get a UPC missionary from the United States into Angola anyway. They won't let us.
Won't.
Amen. There's a lot of countries that are closed to the United States. But we can get missionaries from other nations in there. And that's what that offering's about. That's why you're a part of that. Amen. And thank you for being a part of it so generously. And then we talked about our daughter work that we're going to be opening in Kaufman, Texas. Amen. Lord willing, and Brother and Sister Hart are excited about going there and working with that. And so we are going to be talking to you a little more about the financial part. Right now, we need to pray for two things. Number one, we need a place to have church.
Yeah.
Amen. The building we wanted is at this point is not in our budget. And I don't believe in straddling yourself and strangling yourself to death on finances. If God wants a church in Kaufman, and He does, He'll make a place to have church. Amen. And He'll make a way to pay for it. Praise God. Did you know the first church, they didn't start with a building. They started with people. The church is not a building. It's people. So I'm convinced if you get a group of people together on a church, they'll have a building somewhere. Amen. But right now, we just want to get people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you know some people that are interested, and maybe know some people in Kaufman, Texas that have Pentecostal background, get with Brother and Sister Hart and let them know. Or you know of a building that somebody would be interested in allowing us to use, and then whatever you can do to help in that particular way, I'm excited about it. I think God's going to do some great things, and we're happy about it. Amen. Well, looking forward to revival Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Everybody say revival. Now, it's not just children's revival. Amen. It's not just young people revival. It's everybody revival. Praise God. Amen. We need everybody, all hands on deck, worshiping, shouting, worshiping, praying. Amen. Giving, doing everything we can do to make it a success. And by God's grace, we certainly will. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight. If you would like to turn with me, I'm going to the book of Philippians. A very familiar portion of Scripture to many of us. And a marvelous portion of the Scripture that I like to read and quote and remember often. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Let's begin reading with verse number 11. The Apostle Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," everybody say learned, "in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Everybody say content.
Content.
We're going to preach tonight about the college of contentment. Learn to be content. It's not natural. It's like other things that has to be learned. You're not going to be content by nature. You're going to be content because you learn to be content. You make an effort. You educate yourself to be content. You struggle with yourself. You talk to yourself. You get a hold of yourself. Amen. You make yourself be content. Because it's not a natural order. And so it's something Paul says that he learned. And if he can learn, you can learn too. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. If anybody were qualified to be a professor in the College of Contentment, it certainly would be the Apostle Paul. And in the Scripture, we can see his progress. Amen. He didn't always make good grades. He flunked a few times. He made some mistakes, but he learned from them. And he made progress in his school of contentment. As a matter of fact, these words that we read tonight were written from a prison cell, dark and cold and dirty and stinking. It was a prison cell where Paul was waiting execution. And he wrote in that environment, in prison for simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wrote in that condition, and he said, "I have learned to be content." I'd say he's a graduate, wouldn't you? I'm not sure how I would handle that tonight. I'm not sure that how easy it would be for me, but Paul is writing toward the end of his life, and he has said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Now, that's a good verse for missionaries on deputation. Whatever state I'm in, he said, to be content. Amen. We all have preferences. But he said, wherever I am, whatever situation that I'm in, he said, I've learned to be content. Amen. And so, Paul wasn't always a professor in the school of contentment. As a matter of fact, he started out as what I would call Stormy Saul. He was a man full of discontent. He was a man that made it his business in life to stir up trouble. He was a man that nobody could make happy. Nobody could satisfy. Nobody was good enough. Everybody disturbed him, and he did his best to stir up everybody. He stirred up trouble everywhere he went. He was the master of discontent. That's where we started. He started out so differently than what he was. And of course we know Paul's conversion, how that the Lord got his attention when he knocked him off of the back of the beast of burden and blinded him by light and had him led to the house and sent Ananias and prayed for him, and he recovered his sight and got him the Holy Ghost and told him to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And got his life on the right track. But hey, he still wasn't always content. No, I don't want you... You know, one thing that we would be a disfavor is if we glorify these men of the Scripture to the point of perfection. They were human beings. They were human beings. And they did have arguments and disagreements. And they did have problems. Oh, yes, they did. As a matter of fact, Paul got so upset with his buddy Barnabas. And who could get upset with Barnabas, for goodness sake? If you couldn't get along with Barnabas, you couldn't get along with anybody. But he had the division got so sharp, Paul just said, well, you just pick up your jacks, go your way. I'm going mine. And they split. And Barnabas took John Mark, and that's what it was all over. Paul said, I'm not having that baby with me. He can't buck up and get tough. Follow me. He don't have more backbone and stick to it than that. I don't want him in my camp. And Barnabas said, well, you know, he's young. Have a little mercy on him. Have patience. I don't have time to be patient. Paul found somebody maybe as impatient as he was, and he and Silas hit the road. And Barnabas said, all right, I'll just take John Mark with me. And he went another direction. And you know what? At the end of his life, when Paul was in deep trouble and needed somebody he could depend on, he said, send John Mark to me. He's profitable for the gospel. Thank God for some men that are willing to just be patient and take some fellows under their wing and say you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. Amen. And thank God for Barnabas that can do that ministry. And thank God for Paul that was willing to learn. Willing to learn. And I'm sure it wasn't easy. Amen. He had a tough time in the school of contentment. But he graduated with flying colors. Amen. On the road to Damascus, he was stricken down. And then in Lystra, where he preached, the Bible says that they literally stoned him and left him for dead. Dragged him outside the city and left what they thought was a corpse. And he got up, come back into town, got his companions, went to Derby, preached, come back to Lystra and preached some more. Amen. That's you can say one thing about Paul. He was tough. He was determined. Amen. And he learned a lot about contentment. He learned how to be content in whatever situation. And he was imprisoned in Philippi. We preached about that Sunday night, how that cast the demon out of a girl, and because of that, they were beaten and thrown into a prison. And God miraculously delivered them with an earthquake. And they preached to the Philippian jailer's house, and he and his whole household were saved. Hallelujah. Praise God, had revival in the middle of it all. But Paul learned to be content. Now, one thing I appreciate about Paul was meek, but he wasn't weak. One thing, this is an interesting part of that story. After they beat Paul and Silas and threw them in the jail, all of that was illegal because they were Roman citizens. And they could not have been beaten like that. They just assumed that they were not citizens. And so they beat them. And then when they found out they were citizens, they tried to sweep it under the carpet. And Paul said, uh-uh. We're not going to do that. Amen. We're not going to. This was done openly. You're going to let us out of here openly. And it's going to be known what was done here. Amen. You know, it's okay to help people sometimes to face up to responsibility. He didn't let them get away with being irresponsible. Amen. And so he called them to responsibility, and they had to stand up for what they had done and face some consequences of their actions. Amen. So Paul knew a lot about trouble. He knew a lot about difficulties. As a matter of fact, he gives us a pretty good list in 2 Corinthians 11:23. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, plural, more frequent in death, plural, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's a lot of beating, folks. That's over 200 stripes, or just about 200 stripes. That's a lot of beating. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Day and a night I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. You know who the first persecutors were of the church? The Jews. The Roman persecution came later. But the first persecution against the Christian church was Jewish brethren. Against Jewish brethren. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Did you know that ministry is not like anything else in the world? Most jobs, when you finish your job, you leave your job. But when you're a minister to the church, it stays with you always. When you go to general conference, it's with you. If you go on vacation, it goes with you. Wherever you are, that burden's always right here. Never goes away. Amen. And so it always, always stays with you. So Paul said that's the burden that comes every day. So Paul knew a little bit about pressure. He knew a little bit about stress. Amen. He understood those words and those concepts. He knew what it was all about. And yet, he said, I've learned to be content. I've loved his statement that he made in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. He said that we're going to go through all of this, but you can be content. Praise God. Hallelujah. My observation is that folks in the world's got it a whole lot tougher than folks in the church. Amen. I see the things that folks go through and the things that we go through, and they're very similar. But the difference is, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You talk about a promise today. We've got some promises, and they are sure and proven and tried and true. Amen. Paul had his confidence in God, and he said in this beautiful verse, Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He learned that, didn't he? He learned that. And you learned that. As a matter of fact, the reason God allows us to go through things is so He can teach us exactly that. Amen. God wants you to be strong, and He's going to help you to be strong. Yes, He is. He's going to help you to be strong. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know exactly what's waiting for us on the other side, but as I understand it, the Bible said we're going to rule and reign with Christ. So ruling and reigning means you've got to have some wisdom, and you've got to have some experiences, and you're going to have to be able to make some right judgments. And you know how you learn to do that? By going through some stuff. And so God, knowing what's prepared over there, is going to put you through some things down here. So we pray with a songwriter that said, Lord, don't give me lighter burdens. Give me a stronger back. Help me to endure. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. A fella getting a blessing, and he was saying, oh, Lord, I can't stand anymore. He said, turn it off. Turn it off. And brother said, no, don't you say that. He said, increase my capacity, Lord. Amen. Don't ask Him to turn it off. Say, increase my capacity. Make me bigger. Make me better. Make me stronger. Help me to be better. Amen. That's our goal. That's what we must do. So the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. John did some growing. If you would have known John before he got the Holy Ghost, he was a different John. You know what his nickname was? Son of Thunder. Now he got that name because he had a temper. One day, when they were going through Samaria, and Jesus sent them ahead to prepare a place so that they'd have a place to eat and everything and rest a little bit, and the people wouldn't receive them. And so they came back. Boy, he was mad as a proverbial hornet. And he said, Lord, he said, do you want us just to call down fire from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? That's what I think we ought to do. Amen. If they don't agree with you, fry them. That was John's idea before his conversion. That's how it started. Amen. But after a while, you gotta get over that. John learned to be a content man. Amen. He learned through a lot of suffering and a lot of persecution and a lot of trials and a lot of trouble, a lot of time. Amen. But he became John the Beloved. Amen. He learned to be content. Amen. And so all of us, we're still in school, aren't we? Are you learning anything? You know, the neat thing about God is if you didn't get it the first time, He'll send you back. And you just keep going back till you get it. Does it seem like you keep having the same old trouble and same old problem? You think, why in the world? Well, learn it. Learn it. Amen. Then you can get on with life. Get on to the next step. Go on to the next trial. Get up to the next level. Amen. All right. Praise God. The targets of discontent in our life, first of all, probably in a lot of lives, is possessions. People get, especially in North American culture, in our materialistic state, people get discontent with what they have and what they don't have. Amen. I don't know that I'm preaching to that crowd tonight, but that's a struggle that some people have. Amen. Now, brother, Wayne Huntley did a masterful job of bringing that to our attention in the mission service on Saturday night. Amen. About if we're going to have revival, you know, we can't have that mindset. Praise the Lord. We can't have that mindset. We've got to understand that it's going to cost us something. Amen. Praise God. And you know, I think one of the most valuable lessons that the church can learn is the value of the widow's mite. God never asks you to do more than you can. He only asks you to do what you can. But what happens to us sometimes as we compare ourselves with somebody else and we think, well, so-and-so can do this. You don't know what so-and-so can do. You think you know, but you don't know. And so you think, well, they can do that, and I can do so little. He's not asking. All he's asking you to do is what you can. And that little lady just did what she could. And that's all God ever asks of you. Just do what you can. Do what He asks. Amen. I still believe that we pray and then we obey. And God tells us what to do and we just do it. Amen. And so it's very important that we learn that not to be discontent in our possessions. Amen. Praise God. God has a way of supplying everything that you need. But something does disturb me. That I have seen so much traveling around this country, that so many times when they get a raise, they're no better off than when they started. Because no matter how much they get, they spend that much. Their giving doesn't go up. Their savings doesn't go up. Just their spending goes up. Because it's never enough. Amen. If I get this much money, I'll spend more on me. Amen. And that's not the apostolic pattern, folks. There has to be a place. And I don't try to tell people. And it's not my job. I'm not somebody trying to tell you how much is too much. I don't know. That's between you and God. All I'm saying is that there needs to be a time and a place where it is enough. Where it is enough. Amen. Praise God. And then you're able to be a blessing. Hallelujah. How many want to be a blessing tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, all this stuff that we have, you know what it's like. It wears out and it grows old. And I know people just, they got to have a toy and they get the toy. I'm talking about adults, not just children. Only difference is the price of the toy. And they got to have it and they get it and it just gets dusty and it takes up room and then you got to build more space to put it in. never use it, don't have much time, grows old. Amen. Just stuff. Just stuff. Amen. And so our possessions can cause us to be discontent. Amen. But the Bible, Paul writing, had this to say, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, writing to a young preacher. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food, and let us be therewith content. Be therewith content. It's enough. Amen. And so, that's how you win the battle against discontent. Just reach a place and say, you know what? This is enough. This is enough. Amen. You know, one of the things I sometimes wonder about us is, you know, when we go shopping for entertainment, you talk about the foxes guarding the hen house. You talk about somebody flinging a craving. You just go shopping and see what happens. Oh, I don't need anything. I'm just going to go look. Wow. And I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying be careful. If you're an impulse buyer, I am preaching against that. Amen. If you got to have everything you see, then you can go, but don't take any money or any credit cards, and don't fill out any applications. Amen. So our possessions, that's one area where we have to learn to be content. And then positions. The position that we're in, the place that we occupy in our job, in our church, the place that we occupy in our family, the place that we occupy in our society. You see, that's another area where pride raises its ugly head. Amen. And we want to be in certain positions, and that can make us discontent. If we're not in the position that we think we should be in, it can cause us to be discontent. Amen. And so, but you know, the Bible said a man's gifts will make room for him. If you just use the talents, you refine, you educate yourself, you prepare yourself, you get yourself ready, and then your gifts will open doors for you. You don't have to have mom and dad to do it. You don't have to have a famous pastor to do it. God will just open doors. Your gifts will open for you. If you prepare yourself. Amen. If you prepare yourself. And so positions is another place that it's easy to become discontent. It's easy to become discontent. And then we can become discontent in our potential. That's why Paul said, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are unwise. Because when you get to comparing yourself to somebody else, a couple of things are bound to happen. You're either going to feel pride because you think you're better than somebody, you're going to fear inferiority because you're going to feel like you're worse than somebody. And neither one of those are productive. Pride is not productive, and inferiority is not productive. Amen. But if you can be satisfied and understand Jesus made me and He don't make no junk. Amen. I don't know who said it originally, but it still is a wonderful saying and true. They said, what you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. We're going to present ourselves to the Lord one day, and He's going to judge us according to what we did with what He gave us. Do you know in the parable of the talents, who was the fella that hid his talent in the sand? Which one was it? The one that said, "Oh, I just have one talent. I can't do nothing. I'm a nobody." And when he met the Lord said, "Oh, you poor thing." Is that what he said? No, he didn't. He said, "You wicked and slothful servant. What have you done with the talent that I gave you?" You hear me today. You're not gonna get away with excuses before the throne of God. Your pity party is not going to work up there. Buck up! Develop your talents. Use them. Get busy. Be productive in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Don't hide it. It won't work. Amen. And so that's a warning to us, isn't it? So your potential is an area where you're going to be discontent. But you can be happy with who you are. And you can be happy with what you do with your gifts. Amen. And you can be happy with what others do when you just understand, you know, this is where I work and this is what I do. Amen. I'm happy doing what I do for the Lord. I know there's others that do things. And some people may think that's a grander thing, and maybe it is, but I'm happy doing what I get to do. I'm just glad the Lord includes me in all of this. Amen. I'm just happy to be on the team. I don't know exactly how professional sports teams work, because I know that the quarterback makes multiplied millions and some of them on the team just make a few thousand. That don't seem fair to me. But it seems to work somehow. I think some of them are just glad to be on the team. And you know what? They need that person. They need that person. Amen. If all they can do is stand up there and let somebody run into them. That's all they need to do. If they run into me instead of the quarterback, then I've done my job. My job is to get beat up so he doesn't have to. Seems to me like they ought to be paying that guy a lot more. But all of this, you see, our potential can cause us to be discontent. If you get to looking around, don't judge yourself by other people. That's never a good thing. Never a good thing. Just be happy that God made you, you. And learn to thank Him for that. And that's how you start getting over this, is you start out by saying, "Lord, thank you for giving me my life. And thank you for letting me be in this situation. Maybe somebody else couldn't handle this. And so you gave it to me. Amen. And if you'll help me, I can endure. I can make it through this. And I'll be a blessing to somebody. Amen. And I'm going to serve you. And whatever my hand finds to do, I'm going to do it with all my might. If I'm going to be a bathroom cleaner, I'm going to be the best bathroom cleaner in the church. If I'm going to be a carpet vacuumer, I'm going to be the best carpet vacuumer in the church. Amen. I'm going to give it all I've got. And be glad that I'm a part of the team." That's an area where sometimes we struggle, is in our potential. And then this one is hitting the closer to home all the time. One of the things we deal with and an area where we can be discontent is past our prime. When you get to the top of the hill and you start descending, and you know that you can't do what you've always done. And now your potential has changed. And now you don't have the ability and the means to do what you've always done. It's real easy to get discontent. And we've got to guard against that and understand. You know, I was the captain for a time, but I can't be the captain now. I've got to step over and let somebody else be the captain. And I played first fiddle for a long time, but now I'm going to have to learn how to play second fiddle. I'm going to have to move over a little bit because I just don't have what I had to carry that anymore. And that's a tough place to be, folks. But if God has mercy on us and we live long enough, all of us will get there. And even in that state, we've got to learn to be content. We've got to learn that there's other things that we can do that are important to the work of God. And then we have to find those things and do them. I am so thankful that Brother J.T. Pugh, after he got past the age when he could be a great pastor that he was for so very long, he didn't throw in the towel. Instead, he picked up his pen. Amen. And he started writing. And that marvelous intellect and all of wisdom and knowledge over 60 years of ministry, he put it down. Amen. And I have some of those books right there in my office, and I can open those books and I can still walk with J.T. Pugh in ministry. Amen. It's a different ministry, but thank God he took the time to do it. He didn't just curl up somewhere and say, I can't preach like I used to preach. I can't do what I used to do. But instead, he did what he could do. And it will be a blessing to coming generations. Amen. We still have the writings of great men of God. Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude. Thank God those men took time to write something down. Amen. And Paul could have just said, I'm in a prison cell. What can I do? Well, I don't know how much credence to put in it, but I've read commentators say that they have to change his guard every 2 hours because it'd convert him. He'd get to preaching to them and they'd get under conviction and he'd convert them to Christianity. Hey, he still saw potential souls. Whether he was in prison or in a pulpit before thousands of people, he said, hey, the goal's the same. Reach the lost. Reach the lost. Reach the lost. Reach the lost. And when he wrote to Timothy, he said, when you come, he seen, bring my cloak that's at Troas, because winter's coming and it's going to get real cold in here. He said, but especially, I want you to bring the parchments. He said, you bring me something that I can communicate, because I've still got a message burning and I need to reach out to some churches and I need to touch some more lives. So you see, he didn't allow that past prime thing to sink his boat. He just found another area of ministry. What was at hand? And he gave it all that he had. Amen. Praise God. So we've got, these are areas that we have to guard ourselves in. But we can be sure of this. God, his presence will be with us. Amen. If you will embark on a new mission, whatever it is. Amen. One of our precious ladies at headquarters for many years, and I'm sure they made an adequate salary that she could have had the best washer and dryer in her house that she could have desired. But Sister Rigdon had discovered that if she would do her clothes at a laundromat, she could visit with people while she was there and she could witness to them and tell them about the Lord. And so she would wash her clothes at the laundromat just so she'd have an opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we've got some folks around us that they've looked around, they've just found places to work and things to do. They asked Sister Eastridge one time, that Sister Nona Freeman's mother. They said, do you think you really have a call into the ministry? She said, yes. She said, tell us about it. She said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's my calling. Amen. Whenever the church that I know of, and I won't get in trouble calling names here, but the church that I know of, she went there and pastored that church. She got it going really good, and they said, it's big enough now we can get a man for a preacher. And they brought him in, and he stayed a little while and got discontent and left. And of course, the church fell back down. Guess who came back and built it up again? Guess who said, you know what? There's nobody preaching to the Indians in New Mexico, the Native Americans. She said, I'll go up there and I'll do that. So she went to New Mexico when she was an elderly lady with heart problems. And she established a ministry out there because she said, there's some people out there that need Jesus. Nobody's going. Nobody's preaching. I'll go. I was going to a church one time to pastor, and I passed through a certain place and talked to an elder, and he said, where are you going? I told him. He said, why are you going down there? He said, there ain't no money down there. He was right. But that's not why I went. Amen. It's not about the money. Praise God. It's about obeying the Lord. Amen. You know what? I'm convinced Christians should never have a whole lot of money. Amen. Pray. Thank you. Amen. I got some smiles anyway. And some sheepish grins. Amen. That's what Brother Wayne Huntley told the church in Raleigh when he went there. He said, I promise you one thing as your pastor, we'll never have any money here. Amen. They've got a beautiful building and a beautiful church, but they still don't have a lot of money because it keeps going out. Amen. Revivals, praise God. Evangelism, missions, praise God. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. Amen. Isn't that our calling? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. And I believe if we'll keep doing that, we'll have apostolic revival. So God's provision is with us. He said, I will provide, first of all, my presence. And if God be for us, and if God be with us, amen, it's going to be all right. It doesn't matter who's against us or where we go. It's going to be all right because the presence of the Lord, makes all the difference. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Brother Tim Gaddy in his message on a Friday night at the General Conference Brother Gaddy's a little fella. He's kind of small of stature. And when he went to high school, it was kind of a bad experience because there were a lot of big guys. And, you know, they were looking at him like fresh meat, you know, and he got real nervous. And so he found the biggest guy in the school. And he walked up to him and called his name. I don't remember his name. And he said, would you be my friend? And the guy said, yeah, I'll be your friend. Amen. So he put his arm around him. Amen. And they walked side by side. And all of a sudden those hungry thugs started looking elsewhere. Amen. Because of his friend. Amen. He had somebody with him. Wasn't by himself anymore. I mean, that's what happens, you see, when the Lord walks on the scene. Amen. People start running. Don't get the idea they're running from you. Amen. They're not running from you. I sometimes wonder, oh boy, I don't know if I need to get into that. I need to finish up here. But whenever Jesus stepped on shore at the gatherings, I don't know who stepped off first, because, you know, Peter was real bad about jumping in front. I'm not real sure, but what he might have stepped off first. And then he saw that man with naked and bleeding and scarred and hair wild, eyes wild, screaming and running down, foaming at the mouth, running toward him. I think he got to probably just jump right back. Said, "Lord, I'm going to let you take care of this one." And when he got to Jesus, the Bible said he just fell down at his feet and he worshiped. Hallelujah. His presence goes with us. His presence goes with us. Amen. And that's why you can be content, because of the presence of the Lord. Is there anything that brings contentment like that? Amen. I'd rather help Jesus, the songwriter said, than anything. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than the most popular and most influential politician in the country. Because you know what? I know somebody that knows who to talk to and how to talk to. I know somebody that can change people's minds and hearts. Amen. He can do marvelous things. And just his presence, my, what contentment. And then to have his power. Have God's power with us. Amen. There's no power like his power. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God's power is amazing. I like the Bible said God resists the proud. When you get proud, God, the Bible said he just resists you. When I was growing up, we had a little poodle, a little bitty poodle that had before we got it, somebody had broken its leg and they pinned it like this. So she ran around on three legs. And had one leg like this pinned up here. But my, she had an angry disposition. She was not content. And then we had a big old German shepherd dog. And every now and then, little old Lucky, that's what I don't know what we called her that, with her leg in that condition. But anyway, she running on her three legs, and she'd run over to Chief, the big old German shepherd, and boy, she'd be barking and snarling and jumping up and down and trying to bite. And old Chief would just look down there and take that big paw, and he'd just smash her to the ground. She would twist and turn and snarl and foam at the mouth and get so mad. And he'd just keep standing there. And finally, when Lucky would just give up and just lay like a puddle, he'd just lift his foot off and let her go. Amen. So many times I've thought of how God deals with people. Sometimes he'll just put his hand on them. And they'll rant and rave and carry on. And he just keeps his hand there. And they fight and they struggle. They're so miserable. And he just keeps his hand there. Until finally they relax. And he says, "That's all I needed. All this time, all this energy wasted." Amen. Just be content. Amen. And so God's power, that's with us. And then God's peace. The Bible said, there is peace that passes all understanding. And of all the answers that I've ever received from God, my favorite answer is peace.
Yes.
Just peace. And sometimes, you know, I've asked for, a reason. And I didn't get a reason. But I just got peace. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was so troubled because nobody could interpret his dream, this was what he said. He said, "God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." That's all you need, an answer of peace. And in my life, there's nothing more valuable in the peace of God. Amen. If I can just have that, I don't have to have answers and explanations. God don't have to give me a reason. He doesn't have to give me, you know, a 6-point plan. If he can just give me peace. If he can just make sure that I know that he's with me. And I can stand in his power and know that everything's going to be all right. Amen. We have that assurance, do we not? We have that assurance. Amen. You see, contentment is preceded by faith. If you have faith in God, then you can have contentment. You can be content. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "For the cause which I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul was just a little short time away from being beheaded. But he said, "Oh, I'm not discouraged. I'm not disillusioned. I'm not disappointed. I'm not discontent." Amen. I'm not discontent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's stand together tonight.